just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Love it.
And not a bad shot for an old-timer, huh, John?
Not bad at all, Stan. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation and current existence. Lighthearted,
yes,
because it's the best way. And laughter is good medicine, and
yes,
we hope
is.
You get a chuckle or two out of you today.
And feel better. And we do like to just poke fun at the old HMS Beagle, the boat on which Darwin sailed, and we hope we'll sink that boat along with his theory. Well, okay, we're not too open-minded, are we? We're kind of prejudiced.
No, we're as
terribly
biased. We're like, our minds like a steel trap. Snap, and they are shut, and we are ready to go. Stan, we want to talk about Darwin, though, a little bit today to begin with.
And
Darwin,
Chucky,
we call him fondly here.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if the urban legends were true that he did have a deathbed conversion, but unfortunately there's not a whole lot of evidence for it. But
no,
we'll let God be the judge on those matters. But one thing about Chuck, that he not only wrote The Origin of Species for favored races,
yes,
one of his other books that were quite popular and quite useful in his for understanding his theories was his book called The Descent of Man.
The Descent of Man, and that book was actually in response to many queries. The logical outcome of his theory of evolution was, If you're saying that we all kind of came up from an amoeba, are you saying that mankind also, that's who we are? That's how we got here?
We are the acme of evolution?
We're the acme of evolution, or the acne, I don't know which. But we're as good as it gets. Are you saying that we came from monkeys? And in essence, he wrote that book basically.
Yeah.
In which he said, yes, mankind has descended from old world monkeys is how he put it.
And he's using the descent being ancestry.
Right.
But also descent in my mind always has the connotation, Stan, of going downhill.
Going downhill. And John, you having turned 50 recently, might be able to speak to that subject.
Well, actually, I could probably speak some more of it personally, but you know, I think you're a little farther down the hill.
Yeah.
I'm looking downhill and I see some people below me, and you're one of those guys farther down the hill.
Well, moving on today.
I'm getting a nosebleed up here yet, Stan. How are you doing down there? That's very deep. Real deep, Stan.
Moving on to the subject of the descent, let's go to the ascent of man,
shall we? Ascent of man. That's what we'd like to actually label our program today. If we were to give it a title, it would be the ascent of man, because really as creationists and as Christians, man has already taken the deep plunge.
Yes.
And yes, though entropy is occurring and violence and sinfulness are terrible. The Bible does say where sin abounds and where downhill is the standard, grace abounds even more. And so there's something to look forward to because we are, in essence, as Christians, looking up.
It's true. The Bible has already recorded faithfully a descent of mankind when mankind went bad during those first few chapters of Genesis. So bad in which God had to destroy mankind and start over with Noah and his family. But God had greater plans for mankind. He wanted them to ascend out of the pits of where sin had taken him, the degradation and the losing of that image of God that happened because of sin.
Yeah,
God had better plans in mind.
And so really what we talk about here today on Sink the Beagle is a little different than we normally do, in a sense that often we talk about the origin of where we came from, processes of complexity or whatever, or we'll talk about
science,
our destinies even. But today we want to really talk about how to get out of the hole.
Oh, okay.
How to get out of the hole from which you have been born into. It was that's the thing that, you know, it's interesting, Stan. God, you know, if you could choose, let's just put it philosophically in this way. If you knew that there was a planet and a place to be born to where you didn't have to suffer, you didn't have to watch death and pain and violence, and you had the option of being born there or being born in a world of suffering, death and misery and pain and terrorists and all the other things and pollution.
Yep.
Where would you want to be born?
Oh, that's a tough one. Let me think. The first one.
The first, yeah.
Yeah, the good place.
The good place. And did you have a choice of being born in the bad place?
No, did not have a choice.
And so it's interesting when the Bible, what they say that you didn't have a choice being born in the slums of the universe, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The good news is that God doesn't hold your birth against you.
That's good news. That's good news. But does he have a better, you know, does he have hope for me?
Is yes, there something he has. Better the, his is the ascent of man. His plan is the ascent of man. And he laid it out at the foundation of the world. And says, have I got good news for you? And that's why we are gospel good news preachers when we talk about creation evolution.
Well, when Jesus came to this world, he said some, I think, interesting things, among which include this statement. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, sometimes we think of it, it's just a reference to mankind. He wants to save the human population. And of course, it's included in that. But maybe beyond that, he wanted to seek and to save that which we had individually lost. That innocence, that purity, that beauty of character, that unselfish loveliness that Adam and Eve had before they fell into sin. Maybe he was seeking to save that which was lost and to restore that into our images, among other things. And we can rattle off a few things. How about eternal life that mankind had lost then and exchanged it for getting old, John?
Yeah, how about the ground that got cursed and the earth that all around us we see the earth full of violence and curse in the land, having to sweat real hard just to make to provide food for ourselves.
And Adam and Eve seeing their children kill each other, you know,
that would have been violence. A heartbreak.
Oh, all of the things that went downhill.
Headline news before there were reporters, there was a death to report.
And that was the descent of man, but God had other ideas, and he still has ideas today for us, and that's why Jesus came.
And that's why he came, and when he says who he says, I have a plan, and part of the reason why behind it all philosophically is this, God's nature. God is a God of love.
Yep.
And fundamentally, the one fundamental thing in which you can ground your entire belief system in existence is that God is good. As the Old Testament would say, or as the New Testament says, God is love.
And God loves us.
Us. And and he is love, and and his love is the ultimate character trait of his personhood. In other words, he's strong, he's powerful, but he cannot use his power outside the realms of his love. And as a result, he couldn't kill Lucifer right away when Lucifer rebelled. And love has to be love has to allow choice.
And 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, among other things, it says love does not insist on its own way.
Yeah, it had to allow for the possibility for evil, and God had made a plan, though. Though he allowed for the possibility, before it ever became a necessity, he made a provision saying, what if some creatures decided not to love? Right. What if they decided to become selfish and self-centered instead of other-centered?
What would we do then?
What would we do then? And God says, I have a plan. I'm going to come and I'm going to choose. It depends now who they are and where they fall. But if this creature is called humanity, I'm going to make in my image. Should they fall and they don't know me quite so well, I'm going to come in and take their give them a chance to have a new start, to be transformed, to be changed.
And I'm going to come close to them and see how I really am like. And I will let my son be that example. And he will take on human form. He will be touchable. They will hear him speak. They'll hear him describe how we,
who
the Godhead,
I am and
our
what
life.
We're like. And then they will have a choice. We'll give them a choice to choose the way of unselfish love and the provision I've made for forgiveness and healing of relationships and ours, or they can choose the way of death.
A few years ago, of course, the great rock concert called Woodstock happened in upstate New York, and I think of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young writing the famous famous theme song for Woodstock. And in that theme song,
we
got to get back to the garden. And, you know, you can hear Graham Nash singing it. We got to get back to the garden. there is this desire in all of our hearts to somehow recover or get back to that innocence.
To be transformed again.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't happen through psychedelic drugs or chemical.
Nope.
It's not.
And we can't get
chemistry.
Ourselves back to the garden, which was a little bit of a overstatement on their part.
Yeah, God had a plan to get you back to a new heaven and a new earth that looks just like the garden with his presence there. Matter of fact, we are, according to Scripture, Stan, that promise of salvation in Christ, of coming to know him as Savior and Lord. He took the penalty of sin. He took the curse of our descent so we could ascend. And he says that we are going to evolve. We are going to change.
We're going to evolve?
We believe in a species change in the Bible. It says it. It's going to be at least some form of change in our nature. And read about that for us. We have a torpedo text.
This is a torpedo text from 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul says in verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed."
We shall all evolve.
Huh?
Evolve, yeah.
Descend or ascend. Yeah, right. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet.
No long age?
For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this takes place, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
So instead of being a violent, ending up in a big crunch kind of ending, we will be changed. We'll be transformed. Mm-hmm. But what I like about it, Stan, is it's not over a long period of time. It doesn't say, you will evolve over billions of years into something a little more nice. Maybe you'll develop a third leg or a fourth eye or whatever. No, you'll be changed in a blink of an eye.
And in a
You're
blink.
Telling me the Germans had a phrase.
Oh, yeah,
once.
The Germans, you know, the Germans say, einen Augenblick bitte, which is literally saying, give me a second there. And literally, it's eye blink, just an eye blink. Give me an eye blink, I'll be right with you.
And God, give us an eye blink. That'd be a good prayer, you know, God, give me an eye blink. This time, let it be the real blink I'm waiting for,
yes.
You know.
And the good news is we are going to ascend. And when this corruptible puts on incorruption, what are we going to have, John? What's it going to be like?
Mortal puts on immortality. We'll have eternal life.
And no one's going to be looking down on others saying over the hill, you know.
Yeah, hey, I won't have tendonitis in my arm. Oh, my head, my neck, my back. No more aches and pains. None of these things shall even be remembered. And that's good news because a lot of stuff about this world that even our listeners, I'm sure, would like to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of pain they've gone through, lots of sorrow, lots of funerals, lots of disease and death and discouragement. But the Bible, Jesus says, Christ has come to redeem us from it all. And when you enter a relationship with him, you are on the path of the ascent of man, not the descent of man.
And, you know, I like the way Paul put it. He says, we shall all be changed. And that's all of us, whether we've fallen asleep in Christ, we've passed away, or whether we're still alive when Jesus comes. This promise is just for everybody. And whereas our buddy Chuck, our Charles Darwin antagonist sometimes, anyway, seems like it, wrote in his book, The Descent of Man, we are not the product of evolution over millions of years coming from monkeys. We were created by a perfect God, lovingly formed in his image. Yes, we lost something. Yes, we descended for a period of time. But after that, we are well on the way to that ascent that God has promised us through Jesus.
And the focus point that allowed it to happen began at the cross.
Began at the cross.
And if you go there, you will begin your ascent.
Ah,
so we invite you to begin there, listener. Tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.